All right. My name is Heidi. I am family ministry coordinator, and occasionally Pastor Aaron and the church board, they go on a retreat. So that is where they are this weekend. They are, as a church board, they are discussing some strategic planning, and then it's just a great way for them to come together and to build trust among them. So because the church board and Pastor Aaron are away, we have the pleasure of hearing from Pastor Dwayne Joss. Pastor Joss is the pastor to the pastors in central Wisconsin, and I'm sure he's going to tell us a little bit more about himself, and I'm really looking forward to hearing his message this morning. So if you please help me welcome Pastor Joss.
It's always good to be here, and when Aaron called me the first time, I was up north preaching at a church up there, but this time it worked out for me, and I just have a special place in my heart for a new day, and a couple weeks ago, I preached at the church that I was the founding pastor of in Mosinee 35 years ago, and they asked me to come and preach a portion of the Apostles' Creed. What does it mean that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? And as I did that study, something really spoke to me that I don't remember having seeing it this way before, but it really helped me to think through again the Holy Spirit and the person of Jesus. And we're going to look at that this morning. And I've going to give you a lot of scripture, more than you're going to be able to handle, but if you can take it home or write them down or write down some thoughts, I think it might help you as we are approaching the Christmas season again. As I work as a pastor to the pastors, God gives me opportunities to minister, to encourage, to really help. I had one pastoral couple that just needed to get away and sort out some things for a while, and I was able to help the deacon board understand that this was necessary and that I would find money to make sure that they got the help that they needed, and God really worked in a powerful way. So it's just good because most pastors don't have a pastor, and I didn't when I was starting in the ministry. And who do I talk to? Who do I share with? And I now have 25 pastors that I pastor. I meet with one pastor, a young guy. Every time he's going to preach, he doesn't preach every Sunday, but I go over his sermon, listen to him, we just kind of work it through, and kind of, I am a mentor. And if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 1, and we're just going to look at a few verses this morning, talking about the Holy Spirit and Jesus, and we'll begin with verse 32 of Luke chapter 1. He will be very great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Would you pray with me? Father God, as we listen to this portion of your word, I pray that you'll give me the words to say and give those who are here the ears to hear, because this is really, really important, because it will apply to us in our relationship with you as we close out our time together. So may your Holy Spirit truly come down upon us and help us to better understand the person of Jesus. I pray this in his precious name. Amen. I've told you the story, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story again, and some of you haven't heard it, about how I, as a Christian, made a decision to be a Christ follower, to begin to take God at his word, to be led in his spirit, whatever that meant. And at 1968, I was 32 years old, and I was 6 years into my faith relationship with Jesus that I came to a realization that I'm not changing. I'm still struggling with the same old things. My mind is still focused on the wrong things. And I just, what have I missed? And in the process, God opened me up to an opportunity to think about the person of the Holy Spirit. And how when I received Christ in 1968, he came into my life in the person of the Holy Spirit. And as I began to build that relationship, I needed to depend more and more upon him to enable me to not only hear God's voice, but to do God's will. And those of you who don't know, most of you do, that I'm an alcoholic. And in my days of being an alcoholic, managing the supermarket, I became a thief. I became a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about today. But I had a lot of stuff to walk out of, and a lot of things that were just garbage in my mind. And then I began to better understand it. Well, we're going to be talking about something that God has taught me just in the last few months, and out of the portion of Scripture that we have read. And when you listen to that portion of Scripture, it said that this baby born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. So God the Father planned to send God the Son into the world to enable him to take on a body, to enable him to empty himself and become nothing, but to enable him to know that he could depend upon the Holy Spirit to enable him to finish the mission that God had sent him on. But how does that really work? And I'm just going to talk about it in this way. I hope you'll really focus in on this because it's really helped me. You know, at my age, you think I'd stop learning, but there are things that I just am beginning to understand better. And I'm in my 50th year now of being a believer, and I'm just, every day, I'm saying, God, help me to understand this portion of Scripture even better. Well, the first thing I want you to think about is that the Holy Spirit is the presence of God in the person of Jesus. So when God sent his Son and he emptied himself and became nothing, he also sent the Holy Spirit to enable him to have the presence of God in his life, by the Holy Spirit, to enable him to do whatever God was going to ask him to do, no matter what. And sometimes I didn't fully understand that. You know, how come Jesus, who emptied himself, became nothing, and that was his choice? We'll look at that later. How could he be tempted in all ways as I am, and in ways that I'd never even thought about, because Satan was given everything that he could, tempting him, you know, to really get him out of God's will and to prevent him from being the Savior of the world. But God sent his Holy Spirit. Listen, the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Holy Spirit. He will be called the Son of God. You know what I found as I began to read through Luke chapter 1, and I read it over and over again, which is a good thing to do when you're looking at a text. You want to read the context and find out for sure what is going on there. I found in a fresh way this portion in Luke 1:15. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. Now, this was talking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had a special mission to be the forerunner, to get people prepared for the Messiah, the coming one. But when he, it says in Scripture, was filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born, I thought, boy, if that is true of John the Baptist, that is more than true for Jesus. He too was filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. And when he was born, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, was in his life. And it was kind of like when Jesus was growing up, he had a constant companion, but also a constant partner to enable him to not only hear the voice of God, but to fulfill the will of God. Even when he was 12, you know, he was in the temple and he was listening and he was talking and he had wisdom beyond his years. And again, this was because of the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, who had really enabled him to open his eyes and to see the things that he could not see without God's help at that time. Now, what I want you to think about, it says in Luke chapter 4, 1, 2, Luke chapter 3, 21 to 22, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. Now, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit from the beginning to the end. And when his mission was finished, when he was on the cross, and he had that terrible experience where the Father turned away his eyes from him because he became sin for us, he says, it is finished, and then he gave up the Spirit. As we find that, if we read that story later on. But now he becomes God the Son, and the Son of God become one at that time. But when he was entering into his ministry, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit in a new way. Because for the first years of his life, before he entered into ministry, the Holy Spirit was kind of like a silent partner. We don't hear much about that. But once he's ready to begin to enter into ministry, he is baptized by the Holy Spirit, and he is able to then withstand temptation. Because shortly after he goes through this time, in Luke 4, 1-2, it says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Now, I just want to make sure that we understand this, you know, because some people believe that being baptized by the Holy Spirit is somehow connected to speaking in tongues. And I don't see that connection at all. I still think the gift of tongues is alive today for some people, but it's not connected to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is coming under the control of the Holy Spirit by what? By being filled with God's love. And that's the key for Jesus. The Holy Spirit kept Jesus so filled with his love for the Father and the Father's love for him that he could not do anything that would not be pleasing to the Father. He could not turn away and say, no, I've been doing this pretty well, but today, not thy will, but my will be done. We do that. I do that. You know, I'm not always filled with the Holy Spirit. None of us are. Because we somehow have a day when our will becomes more important than God's will. But Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the will of his Father was all important because his love for the Father was so complete, and he didn't want to lose that at all. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he says, you know, Father, is there any other way? And he began to understand what the Father was going to ask him to do, the suffering and the crucifixion and all that that meant. But then he said, no, not my will, but thy will be done. So Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He loved his Father so much that he could not turn away. Some of the songs that we sang today really speak to that. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. I need to be so full of your love for me that I cannot turn against you. I cannot be one who falls into temptation. I can call upon you by the Holy Spirit to prevent me from falling into temptation. That is so true. You know, I'm in my 50th year now of being a believer. And I can see I've come so far. But I also know when I begin to understand how far I've come, I know I've got so far to go to become like Jesus, who was perfect in every way, who was sent by the Father to make it possible for you and for me to have a Savior, to have someone that we can call upon in our time of need, to have someone who knows us perfectly and knows that when we sin, there are times we don't ask him for forgiveness soon enough. But when we do, he not only forgives us, but he cleanses us and makes it right. Now, this is the next point. The Holy Spirit is the power of God in the ministry of Jesus. You know, I think through when I began to enter into ministry, and I was really struggling. I had never had an office of any kind in the church. I'd never done anything in the church. And I go to South Dakota to be the pastor of a church that was ultra-conservative. And I didn't even understand what that meant until I got out there. And we had to talk that through about what was really important and really say that I don't know about you, and I know you got your ways of thinking about do's and don'ts, but I'm going to make this my source of truth. And I want to be a biblical Christian. I want to understand what God says to me through his word and what God says to me through his son. And how God says that at times and always through the Holy Spirit, who is my teacher and my encourager, my guide, my advocate. Look at Luke 3:16. John answered their questions by saying, I baptize with water, but someone who is coming soon, who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am even unworthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, we just sang that song. The Holy Spirit comes into my life and he begins to cleanse me from the inside out. He begins to not only convict me of sin, but he also convicts me of righteousness, and he convinces me of judgment, and he says, which way do you want to go? Do you want to keep your eyes on Jesus and keep walking towards him? Or for today, are you going to forget about him and just do your own will? And then something happens and we blame God for it. And we said, no, if you'll trust me, you'll act like I'm not listening. There'll be times when you're wondering if I'm ever going to answer. But also, there'll be times when I will just show up and I will provide for you in a beautiful way. I went to Iowa for my Joss reunion, and there's a bunch of Josses in Garner, Iowa, and Clear Lake, and Mason City, and you can tell it when you walk in the room, because we all have large noses, and we look at each other, and we can see the resemblance. And I'm the pastor. They never prayed at the Joss reunion before until Pastor Joss comes, and so we have to pray, which is fine. And all of a sudden, they've accepted me as being like them more than they wanted to admit before. And we have good conversations, and some even come and ask me questions about my faith and their church, which is going through a struggle. But Jim Joss, my cousin, his mother's name was Myrna. And Myrna was a born-again Christian when I was a young child. And my mother hated Myrna. And several others didn't like Myrna. They thought she was kind of holier than thou. She was self-righteous. I didn't understand it, but there was something about Myrna that was attractive to me. And over the years, and as I began to be a Christian, we had some great conversations. And I'm sure way back, I don't remember it all, but maybe she went too far at times. But I went to Iowa, and I said to Jim, I'm going to go out and talk to your mother. I want to thank her for what she did for me. It at least got me thinking about what it means to be born again. And Jim said, Dwayne, thank you for wanting to do that, but she won't know you. She's 102. She's in a nursing home. She's got dementia. She hasn't been able to recognize me for a long time. I said, Jim, I'm still going to go. And I had second thoughts. I said, is it worth it if she doesn't know me? But then I thought, no, I need to go. So I prayed before I went in to see Myrna that the Holy Spirit would give us a time to just talk. I walked into the home, and she was sitting at table. It was around noon. I touched her on the shoulder, and she looked up at me, and she says, why, Dwayne, why are you here? And we had the best conversation, and she had tears coming out of her eyes, and I told her, Myrna, you helped me in so many ways to begin to think about what it meant to have a personal relationship with God. And then I said, Myrna, I won't see you again this side of heaven, because I don't know, at 102, how much longer is she going to go? And I don't go back that often. But I said, isn't it going to be good to be with Jesus together and to celebrate eternity, all that God has revealed himself to be? And she says, yes, Wayne, that'll be so great. And she had tears in her eyes, and I thought, boy, I am so glad I went. But I'm also so glad that I prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to enable me to have time with Myrna. See, the Holy Spirit is the power of God in the ministry of Jesus, and I wanted to minister to her. Because I think at times she just had closed up because nobody was talking about the Lord to her. Her own children aren't there. They go to church, but they're not there spiritually. And what a wonderful thing to do ministry in that context, just understanding that the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Philippians 2:5-8, just an important portion of Scripture. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. And I'm going to read a couple of the verses before I go to the next step. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings as we do, yet he did not sin. Luke 4:14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly throughout the whole region. You know, my first sermon as a pastor when I was in seminary, a church asked me to come and preach. I'd never preached before. And I chose Luke 4 about Jesus going into the wilderness to be tempted, first physically, and then to be tempted to say, I'll give you all of the kingdoms of the world if you just follow me. And then to be tempted, why don't you jump off that cliff? If God is who he is, he'll save you. And Jesus quoted scripture and helped him to understand. So I preached that, but I didn't understand it. But now I better understand it. You know, what does it mean that Jesus, who was human, faced temptation beyond what we can understand, yet was without sin? And then I thought, he could not have done that without the person and the power of the Holy Spirit in his life 24/7. But that must have been a wonderful thing, to know that God was with him in a powerful way to make sure that his heart was filled to the full 24/7, every day throughout his life on earth. So what? And that's what we're going to look at today. Number one, we too can be born of the Spirit so that we can bear the presence and the power of Christ on earth until he returns. We can be. It's hard. And we can't do it perfectly. But the more we try, the easier it becomes. And the more we try it again, if we didn't do it the first time well, the easier it becomes. So, you know, if we fail, that doesn't mean we failed and there's no hope. If we fail, that's a part of the learning process. And I love golf. And with my back and my age, I changed the way I play. But also, I like to have mulligans. Anybody like mulligans where you hit a bad shot and you say, that's a mulligan, and I'm going to hit it again, and maybe this time I'll do better. You know, and I believe in that, God allows us to have mulligans in life. But he wants us to understand that with his help, we can overcome a certain temptation. And I have walked out of a lot of junk. And my thoughts are not even close to what they used to be with all the stinking thinking. John 16:7-8. But in fact, it is best that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. John 14:15-7. If you love me, obey my commands. Get that. If I love God, I will keep his commands. If I'm not keeping a command because I don't love him at this point in my life, and I need to spend time on my knees and asking God to fill me with his love again, but first I have to confess sin that I'm holding back, and then he forgives me, he cleanses me, and I get filled up, and I'm ready to go again. If you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who speaks into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. What's better, to have Christ with you or to have Christ in you? It's so much better to have Christ in you. For the first 6 years, I felt that God was with me, that Christ was with me, but why wasn't I growing? Why was my mind still filled with junk? And I began to understand it's better to have Christ in me in the person of the Holy Spirit, and that's what Jesus is saying. It's better that I go so that I can send the Advocate who will live in you, and when he lives in you, I will live in you. when I live in you, the Father will live in you. So when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, God comes into your life, and he really begins to help us understand that. You know, God wants us to be witnesses to Christ's power. He wants us to be witnesses to Christ's presence. And as we have gone through some times this summer with Revive Wisconsin, some of us had, and saw what God can do when you just take a risk and say, man, can I pray for you? Most people, boy, they want to be prayed for. Nobody's asked them that before. And then say, do you mind if I tell you about my Savior? And most people allow that to happen. You don't close it in that moment. But you begin to see these things begin to happen. And I think it's going to happen more and more. We live in a fallen world. Does anybody have any trouble with that? We really have seen things change so drastically where we need to be the presence and the power of God. In closing, Ephesians 3, 16 to 17. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The Holy Spirit will strengthen us with power through his Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And Colossians 2, 9 to 10, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. And I don't know about you, but Christ is my reason for living and my reason for dying. Let's just pray. Father God, I know that this is hard at times to hear, and sometimes we don't want to hear it. We think it's going to cost us too much. And then we say, okay, and the Holy Spirit enables us to walk out of a behavior that you say is wrong, not healthy, and then you begin to help us to live the right kind of life, a life that Jesus would live, so that we can be witnesses to his presence and his power upon the earth. And that's your desire all along, is that you have a people who will be witnesses to your presence and your power upon the earth. The church is going through a hard time, and many are walking away. But I know New Day is a church that's going to continue to walk forward as other churches that are connected with her. And I know that your Holy Spirit is going to work in fresh ways to bring us to that place where each one of us can understand how we can be the presence and the power of Christ in our sphere of influence. Come down upon us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.